Blog Talk Radio. Into home. Ministry empowerment. Welcome home. I'm so excited that you have joined me on today. Truly is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad. Yes, you as we are going to rejoice today and be glad. Oh, truly God is great, and He's greatly to be praised. And we do lift up that matchless name of and give Him the praise unto His name. Oh, child, I'm excited about you on today and excited about is going to do your life. I tell you, you on the heels of blessings. I tell you, the scripture said, the blessings of the Lord maketh us rich and add no sorrow. And to yes, you, with a no sorrow blessing. He wants to do it. It's His will to do it, and He's going to do it and bless you in a mighty and whatever you're going through and whatever is in your heart and mind right now. I don't care how heavy it may seem or how dark the clouds may roll. I want you right now to cast it on Jesus. Cast it upon the cross of Calvary and watch our Savior undergird and fortify and strengthen you. This too, yes, this thing too will pass. He's done it for you. Do it for you again. He's the God that is a no respecter of persons, but He's able to do abundantly above all that you ask according to the power that worketh. God is going to do it. Today, I ask you to grab your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home. I welcome each and every one of my listeners to home. Helen, our ministry of I am so excited about our lesson on today as we're talking about victorious living through the Word of God, being empowered through biblical lessons and principles, exploring the theological and the relevancy for today's living. Oh, child of God, you're going to be greatly blessed. Our talk on today is on the apostolic church. To look at that apostolic church and gain or understand all by getting, get understanding. And I know you and your understanding is going to deepen even on today. So let us look at the scripture text that we're on today. We're going to look at Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 19. Then we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, actually verses 1 through 3. Then go verses number 16, also chapter, as well as Luke chapter 19, verses 12 through. And then finally, look at John chapter number 20, verses 21 through verse number 23. And so let me read that in your hearing, and you can read along as well. Matthew chapter 19, verses 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth loosed in heaven. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, and verse 6. After these things, the Lord anointed other 70 and 2 and 2 space into every city and place where Himself would come. Therefore He said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore he would send forth labor to the harvest. go your way, and behold, I send you lambs among you, and he that despiseth me, and he that despiseth him despiseth me. Luke chapter number, verses number 12 and verse number 15. And it reads on this line. Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. Then, occupy till I come. The citizen and sent the message after him, saying, we will not have to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, demanded these servants, called unto him, and to whom the money, that he might know how much every man have gained by trading. But look now at John chapter number 20. Verses number 21 through 23. And it reads on this line. Then said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Ghost. Whose sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. So ye they are retained. So far, the reading of scripture for our lesson on today. The word apostolic means what? And the apostolic church emerged as a body of believers out into the world as a personal extension. Many people try to fit the church into various molds, the best suited to its establishment. In other words, they attempt to force the church to function within the framework they devise. Over the past generation, we have witnessed this individual in the lighthouse, the purpose-driven church model, numerous application of church cell ministries. No single human idea of organizational structure can be a one-size-fit-all pattern for the a person not reduce the New Testament church, the apostolic church, to one organizational form. While this church meets in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, and in the temple, Acts chapter 5 and verse number 12. Its work and worship was not confined to the structured worship service. The sick were set beside the street where Peter walked so that they might be healed as battle passed over him. Acts chapter 5 and verse 15. One of the deacons in distribution of all resources convincing servant in a courtroom. Verse number 12. And Philip preached Ethiopian in the desert. Acts chapter 8. And in both in the Jewish synagogue and to everyone he met in the marketplace. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 17. Neither intimidation nor persecution was able to destroy the church. The church wedged political power. No king or governor was able to settle its or stifle its growth or its influence. Jesus assured believers that he would build his church, and no even hell's most intense efforts could stop it. Matthew 18. This brand new collection of believers was a small group of men called the apostles. Now, Greek define the apostle as a delegate or messenger, one sent forth with an John 16:13-6 specifically applies to the 12 disciples whom Christ selected, Matthew 10:1-4. In a broader sense, the name is referred to another eminent Christian character as Barnabas, Acts 14:14. 12 apostles of Jesus Christ certainly fit the definition of the apostle as they the message of Jesus Christ to the world. The church formed as a result of the preaching of the apostle so embraced the message and the lifestyle of the apostle that families became a reflection of their words and actions. Birthed by the passionate care of the apostle, the early church embodied values and spirit of elders, Jesus, and became the most powerful force on earth. Now, as we study the apostolic church, we will examine closely the definition of an apostle, historically, literally, and practically. Historically, there were 12 original disciples, the apostle, who had a unique calling by Jesus Christ, which was never again to be repeated or replicated within the church. The purpose of their specific calling was to fulfill and within their lifetime the establishment of the New Testament. The work of an apostle can do in its most literal and practical definition. Jesus is still calling believers to carry his message into all the world. Our look at the church's continual effort to perform apostolic ministry is in no way intended to diminish or blur the very specific one-time performance by the original apostles. We only to examine and encourage the continuance of the essential idea of apostolic, how also receive our special calling and orders from Jesus Christ. We continue to carry the message of Jesus Christ to every hamlet and village and region throughout the earth. Now, let us take a look at the office of an apostle. Matthew 10 records the commissioning of the 12 apostles. As Jesus prepared to send them out, he gave clear instruction regarding both the message the apostle would deliver and the audience to whom they would minister to. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and go, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 10:6-7. These apostles were true apostles, or these disciples were true apostles. They were called out and sent to deliver a message to a specific audience. Not only did Jesus commission these men to deliver a message of hope to the nation of Israel, but used them to establish the foundation upon which he will build his church. Let's look at Ephesians 9:9-20. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, between the commissioning of Matthew 10 and the birth of the church in Acts 2, Judas fortified or forfeited his position with the when he had sinned and chose suicide rather than repenting. Chapter 2 describes how Judas was selected to take his place. Saul of Tarsus was converted and became known as the apostle of the Gentiles. Acts 11:13. The message collectively constructed by these New Testament apostles, the foundation upon which the apostolic church is built. We continue to send men and women forth with a message to declare that the spring forth from first delivered to us by the apostles. Paul expressed the completeness of their work when he wrote, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let them be accursed." Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 8. And so as we have looked at the office of the apostle, now let's look at the function of an apostle. With the church established and God's word delivered, the work of the apostle, as mentioned in Ephesians 2, verses number 19 through 20, was completed. However, God's plan for his church required that men and women continue to hear and obey his command to carry the gospel to every person. Consequently, the essential function of the apostle goes beyond the work of the original 12 and will remain a vital role in the church as long as the church remains on the earth. Let's look at this. Go with the mission. Jesus made it clear that he was sending forth all his disciples with a message. Send it into heaven. Following his resurrection, Jesus' final words were to his disciples were instruction to prepare themselves to deliver his message to the world. Acts chapter number 1, verses 8. "But ye see power after that the Holy Ghost is to come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. Jesus has given believers the message, Acts chapter 1 and 3, and he expects them to power he will supply to gospel to the whole world. Now let's look. We talked about the mission to go and to go with a mission. Now let's look at complete the task. God's nature and power does not permit his work to lavish unfulfilled. From the example of his creation of the world to the specific prophecy fulfilled by Jesus' birth, it is obvious that he deals in completeness. The resident spirit of God within provides the power that made the apostle effective witnesses. See 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. God does not expect men and women to establish his church solely by the use of their own intellects and resources. We are merely conduit to facilitate the building of the church through the resources of Jesus Christ, for he said he would build the church. It is by the power of God. The apostle knew their role in laying the foundation of the church, and they completed it faithfully. Now it is incumbent upon believers today to continue the work of constructing his church. Building the church is a spiritual work whose progress cannot be measured by natural observation, but we are to be faithful to whatever work he has assigned us to. Only God can calculate the real significance of our faithfulness to perform his work on earth. He has placed the Great Commission in our hand and is depending on us to do the work. C, give an account. Jesus often told stories in Luke chapter number 19. He told of 10 servants who were called to the account for how they had managed the Lord's goods. While God has not measured the success of his church or his disciple by how much money they raise, he has clear expectation for his stewards. God based his judgment on the faithfulness and the obedience. He does not expect every person to produce the same quantity, but he does expect every person to produce. God knows each person's strengths and weaknesses and commission and judge each one accordingly. Let's look at some of the examples of the apostolic function. Let's go all the way back to Abraham, who was the son. Abraham sent his servant on a mission that paralleled the task that Christ had discipled. Recognizing that it was time for his son Isaac, Abraham directed his most trusted servant to find a suitable bride, not wanting his son to move to a heathen family living nearby. Abraham had his travel back to his homeland to select a wife for Abraham's people. Now the servant became, in a sense, an apostle sent to perform a function by Abraham's covenant with God. The apostolic church is centered on the Christ will claim as his own, his church. And you can see Revelation chapter number 21 and verse 9. Just as Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac, so the Lord has sent the apostolic church to acquire a bride for him. See Revelation chapter number 19 and verse 7. Let's look further. Jesus, we clearly witness as an apostolic function in the life of Jesus Christ. His message was not his own, as he affirmed the Jews, when he had lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as taught me, I speak these things. John 8 and 28. Neither did Jesus to pursue his own pleasure, but as he told the crowd, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. John 5 and verse number 30. His prayer in the Garden Gethsemane revealed that he was fully committed to seeing the Father's will done. Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Luke 22 and 42. Paul summarized Jesus' purpose. Jesus came into the world sinners. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 15. Let's look further at examples of apostolic function. Paul and Barnabas, Acts chapter number 13 and 2, as they ministered, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them. Now, God demonstrated his sovereign spirit, called Paul and Barnabas to special work. The church is a body, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and God assigns each person his place within that body. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 18. Responding to the Spirit called is one character of the apostolic church. The church is not the product of its own plans, but is the result of the divine intervention of God who is guiding it. Let's look at a couple of other ones. And the other one is Andronius and Junas. Now let's look at this. And in closing line of the letters to the Church of Rome, Paul greeted Andronius and Junas, thought by some scholars, including Matthew Henry, to be a married Jewish, a couple and cousin to Paul. He saluted them for being distinguished among the apostles and having been converted lawfully. And you'll find that when you read Romans chapter 16 and verses 7. possible that this couple was among the 70 believers Luke wrote about in chapter number 10 of his gospel, Luke 10, chapter number 1, verse 1 and verse number 17. Jesus organized disciples into and ministered throughout the region. Jesus did not only place the burden of ministry upon them, but he also empowered them to act on his behalf. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despises you despises me, and he that despises me despises sent me. Luke chapter 10, verses 16. What occurred after the disciples ministered was not their issue to handle. Their task was to minister, not possess the power to heal or to forgive sin alone. Their only responsibility was to obey Jesus Christ by people to the law. The result totally depended upon Mark chapter number 6, verses number 17 through verse 20. And let us read that in your hearing. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast down. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and any deadly thing, it hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after Jesus had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they were sent forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, let's look at a aspect here. Jesus' object lesson. The Jewish Passover meal. As the Jews celebrated their deliverance from Egypt during the Passover meal, they set an extra empty plate at the table for the Messiah. They set bread and wine before the seat to remind them of the deliverance that they have received and the Redeemer to come. Now, Jesus' last Passover meal. As Jesus prepared the Passover with his disciple, he took the bread and wine reserved for them. Passing the bread and wine to the table, he referred to them as his body and as his blood. Jesus assumed the role of Messiah. Jesus was not timid when it was time to answer the call of God. He knew for what purpose he had been born, and he was determined to fulfill it. Outsiders and others did not stop him. Although the message he had to deliver was going to shatter the religious tradition many people held dear, he was faithful to his calling. Number two, Jesus fulfilled the disciple expectation. By assuming his role, Jesus confirmed to his followers that he was indeed sent from God. Although his methods often confused him, there was no denying the power of God that he was resident in him. After Jesus referred to the bread, his body, and the wine as his blood, he distributed them to his disciples and invited them to partake. By inviting the disciples to partake of his body and blood, Jesus was uniting them and making them one with him and in him. They would not only be witnesses to this moment of great historical significance, but propagating the message of Jesus Christ will become their very own lives, the whole purpose of their existence. No longer did they live to build their own lives and fortune, but their lives became lost in his, and his purpose became the force that motivated their lives. Jesus performed the messianic ministry, and you can find that over in Luke chapter number 4, and also through verse number 18 through 19. And so that's Luke chapter number 4. I'll say that again, Luke 4, verses number 18 through 19, and I'm going to read that in your hearing so that you can have an understanding. Again, Scripture said, in all thy getting, get what? Get an understanding. And so we're getting an understanding about this apostolic church, amen, that God has ordained. So again, that's Luke chapter number 4, verses number 18 through verse number 19. And I'm going to read it here, and it reads on this line. The Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to heal, preach deliverance to the captive, and to recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and preach the acceptable years of the Lord. His purpose in coming to earth was to provide the only true sacrifice for sin and to proclaim the hope of the living gospel. In sharing communion with his disciples, he also passed to them the responsibility of carrying the gospel message to the world. Now let us look further. Sent as individual apostles, and let us look further so that we can gain a better understanding of what God wants, even in your life, child. Understand it all, but we want you to get a better understanding of what God is doing in through the lives of the children of God. It said, but we have been sent. Before Jesus ascended, he commanded his disciples to continue his work of earth. Acts chapter number 1, verse 8. His not to build his own kingdom, but to speak and to do those things to follow. Just as Jesus was to surrender his own will to the will of the one who sent him, each born-again disciple must lose himself in Christ's message and mission. In Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 3. Jesus taught his disciples that they could not accomplish his work without the Spirit he was sent. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. From his instruction, it is apparent that the Holy Ghost is not just an added blessing. Jesus told them that to expect power when they receive the Spirit and not to do his work without it. The apostolic ministry is possible. The believer is empowered the Holy Ghost. Shout of God and shout hallelujah. Amen. Like I tell the church, glad, let us get what? Glad. Amen. Amen. You need Holy Ghost. In order to carry out the apostolic ministry, you must be endued with power from on high, and that empowerment comes in and through by an individual receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance. We cannot add one jot or tittle to his word. Amen? Amen. We have our job description. The job of proclaiming the gospel to the world has been placed upon the shoulders of God's church. The foundational message has been clearly established by the prophet and the apostle. And you can see that over in Ephesians chapter number 2, verses number 19 through verse number 20. And now the church has orders to go, to preach, to baptize, as well as to preach, teach, and baptize his people. And so it's very key for us as children of God to recognize the mission that our Lord and Savior has given unto the church all the way back in the early church. He has given this commission unto the church. And we want to read that in your hearing because it's coming purely not out of the man of a woman who's preaching and teaching this today, but this is coming purely out of the word of the Lord. And it reads on this line, it said, now therefore ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Oh, child of God, come on and shout hallelujah. Glory be unto God. No one who have received the Holy Ghost can claim an exemption. The primary purpose of the gift is to empower the believers for their life in Christ, including their call to share the gospel. By supplying the power himself, God has made it possible for every believer to be an apostle. The standard is not to measure up to the knowledge of the Apostle Paul or the boldness of the Apostle Peter before one can be a witness, but God established a standard for each believer based on his or her own talents and their ability, according to Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 15. Not only does the Holy Ghost set a person free from his past, but it also frees him from his unreasonable expectation regarding the future. God will judge every believer by what they do with the gift he gave them, by how well they do compared to somebody. He will judge every believer by what they did with the gift that he's given unto them. And so, children of God, I encourage you, about our Father's business. Let us not worry about the things that we cannot change or do. He's the one that's healed. He's the one that changed. He's the one is going to perform the miracle. All he wants is us to go carrying the mission and carrying the message, preaching and teaching and baptizing his precious souls in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sin. Oh, call of God, come on and shout hallelujah. Truly, he's great. He's greatly to be praised. He's the wonder in our soul. Let us look further into the beautiful and the glorious word of God. We have an apostolic message. On the day of Pentecost, the power Jesus delivered to his disciples, they had Jerusalem as he had commanded. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothes and tongues like as a fire, and it set upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of utterance. And 2 through verse number 4. Now that they had the power, they were ready to deliver the message. Oh, child of God, let us deliver the message. When the people asked that they needed to be saved, what do they need to be saved? The brand new church was ready, standing united with the other apostles. Acts 2, verse 14. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter number 2, verse 38. This message, the first one preached after the formation of the church, was repeated throughout the book of Acts as the apostles took the gospel throughout their the homiletic is the art and science of interpretation. Dr. J. Edwin Hartel wrote in his book, The Biblical Hermeneutics, unless consistent principle of interpreting is passage or follow, the truth of God become blurred and confused. Later in the same book, Dr. Hartel listed the principle, which is that the principle by which God indicated in the first mention of the subject, the truth which that subject stands, connects in the mind of God. And in other words, Dr. Hartel, the first thing is mentioned in the scripture, it is carried with its meaning that will be throughout of usable interpretation. Message preached to those not in the church, instructed them on how to enter, must be considered particular circumstances arise. The message just preached by so is delivered by today's apostolic church. The apostolic church is not free to choose the message he will deliver. Without a message, there is no need of an apostle. The message is distorted, changed, or confused. Delivering it will become pointless. The message then is more than important than the messenger, something that the apostolic must always keep in mind, that the message is more than the messenger. Let us look further. We have our scheduled day of accountability. Every man, every woman, every boy and girl will have a scheduled day of accountability. In 5, Jesus told a man who took a long journey, leaving the of his affair in the hand of trusted servant. Upon his return, he assembled his stewards to for what they had done in their absence. The Lord was pleased with those who had increased their wealth. He was angry with the man who had forsaken or taken no action to improve the portion of the business he had been assigned to. Don't you know, child of God, you have been assigned to carry out the Lord God's business, his message. Guess what? He's coming back to see how you carried out his business that you was assigned to do. Let us do it with excellence. Let us do it with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength as never before. He still retained all that he has given and have been no contribution of his own to it. In the end, the man who preserved had been even that and was discarded as an unprofitable servant. And so be a song, sing your song. Whether you stand at the door, be the excellence and the best that God have here on this planet Earth. If God called you to administer business, the best of your ability, go back, learn the skills, go back, hone some new skills so that you can do the best of our Father in the spirit of excellence. If you call to preach, if certain capacity, in that capacity with heart, mind, soul, to the glory of God, not doing it as man, but as unto God, and watch God do it and a profound work in life. Oh, God, expand your boundaries. Go back, look again. See how you can bring that to a greater excellence that can bring glory and honor unto God. Yes, that God has given unto you. Begin to bring those and begin those gifts. Whether it's a talent, whether it's a gift of God, maybe it's the giftedness of your hand. Use your hands to his glory. Whether it's the gift of oratorial gift, of speaking, teach. Teach to the glory of God. The baptismal committee. Be the baptism member that you can be as you holding the tender souls of God for his glory. If you're nursing, if there is a nurse in the house, do it for the glory of God. And when you move, you're moving in excellence. And for the glory of Father. Because there's a reward and there's ability that God is encountering and expecting from each and every one of you as we do the work of our Master, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Expanding the boundaries of the church is every disciple's assignment. While some may be gifted or have more available resources. Every believer possesses the ability to bless and strengthen the church. There, no one will bear no excuse that they was not given a talent or given an ability to add strength and a blessing unto the church. The command to go lists no exception and bears no excuses. Spreading the gospel is the responsibility of every child of God. The Lord was not unreasonable. He did not expect his servant to identical result, but he did demand that they should show some gain on what he had given. And in the same fashion, our Lord has reasonable expectation from us as well. We are inexcusable, O man, O woman of God. God winked ignorance, but now he's calling every man, woman, and boy unto repentance. And let us be about our Father's business as never before. We have been charged with a mission. As the body of Christ, we are called to work with Jesus Christ began on this earth. Paul's job description when he wrote, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 15. Jude reiterated the apostolic responsibility and the company influence, and some had compassion, making a difference, and others say fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Jude 23. Oh, let us pull them out of the fire. Oh, child of God, let us reach out in our community, in our sphere of influences, and pull them out of the fiery tests and trials that the people are going through, and turning their hearts and minds back unto our Lord and Savior. As Jesus brought the early church apostle into ministry with him by having them partake of his blood, so are we made partakers of his ministry. The same Holy Ghost that empowers them to serve their generation has been given to us for the same purpose. We are sent with the mission, our lives not our own, to sin and spend as we choose. The burden of the Great Commission rests upon each and every one of us. And children of God, let us be about our Father. Let us take a moment to look back over where we've come. We talked about the apostolic church being, and the name, the word apostle, and what it actually means. That word, one sent, and the apostolic church urged as a body of believers sent out to a world as personal extensions of Christ. And so, child of God, you apostle, because you have witnessed yourself the power. And now you have been empowered to go out and to witness and to share the good news with those in your neighbors, those in your community, those in the marketplace. Share your testimony of what God has done in and through your life, oh child of God. God is going to bless you. Let us look further. We looked at the office of an apostle. We read Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 19 through 20. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We talked about the function of them being that God's plan for his church required men and women to continue to hear and obey his command to carry the gospel to every person. And so as that an apostle of the Lord, we have been given the commission to go out and to share the message and the gospel with every person, oh, child of God, child of God. He said, go with the mission. Jesus made it clear that he was sending forth all his disciples with a message. Before he ascended into heaven and following his resurrection, Jesus' final words to his disciples was to instruct. It was instruction to prepare themselves to deliver his message to the world. Acts chapter number 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the othermost part of the earth." Jesus has given the believer this message over in Acts 1, verse number 3, and asks us to use his power, his supply, to carry out the gospel to the world. Further, the function of the apostle is to complete the task and to give an account. We looked at some of the examples as well as we looked at the message, the lesson that Jesus gave, the object Jesus gave about the last Passover meal. And then we went in and individuals as apostles who has been sent and commissioned by the Lord to go forth and share forth this glorious message unto the lost. Jesus already go to your neighborhood, those that come across your path, and share the message, the gospel message, with those in your God has put in your immediate location, even sharing it with your family member. Glorious message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have been given that message, and he sent us to do his work. We have our job description, and we have the apostolic message to share with the people. And then there will be an accountability day when God is we have to give an account of what do we do with that message, that gift, that talent that is given unto us. Are we corner saying, well, they are we sitting in the corner saying that I'm afraid to do it? Has empowered us to go forth and do the work and the will in which he has commissioned the church to do. Oh, child of God, you can share, go forth and be blessed in a great and a mighty way. There's a whole world. There's your whole community. There's a whole city that God had allowed you to reside in that you can share this good news with. Share your testimony. Share what God has done for you. And in our closing on today, as we close out this glorious lesson, choosing a certain name or denomination affiliation does not make a religious apostolic church. The action and behavior of the believer within the body are the only factors that determine whether or not the church is apostolic. Being apostolic is the value and core belief. A person's action reflects rather than the words that that person may choose to describe themselves as. A person cannot purchase, nor can they claim, nor can they inherit the apostolic life. It can only be experienced, and one who has experienced it. Oh, glorious. He has made it that every man, woman, boy, or girl can experience. He said, whosoever will, let them come. Paul described the new birth as an inside-out transformation, not an external makeover. Therefore, if any man be, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. When the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, the disciples, then fearful and faithless, became bold and passionate champions of this apostle, this prayer, their prayer shows, and their shadow healed diseases, and their messages changed the world. Their message changed the world. Look at it over in Acts chapter number 6, 17 and verse number 6. It'll let you know. Threats swayed them. Prison did not confine them. About this powerful new force only fans and put apostolic revival into other cities and into other continents. This indeed a new thing. God was no longer relegating specific location dedicated to worship, but his spirit was set free to work wherever people gather as believers share their joy without reservation. That power has not subsided, and its effects have not diminished. But flourishes even in nations close to Christian missionaries. God has used ordinary people without religious training or organized assistance to introduce the Holy Ghost in places where government has fought to keep it out, still calling and empowering his disciples. The effect of the new birth is so great in the lives of those who experience it. This culture, as Paul helped the Corinthians understand their new role and identity, he identified the new position that every spirit-filled believer attained. Ambassador, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 20. The birth supplied the disciples with the power necessary to fulfill the commission that Jesus gave the church. May the power of the Spirit of God impact every land, every culture as the church execute the apostolic mission. O child of God, hear ye what the Spirit of the Lord is. Luke says it well. And these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself will come. The harvest truly is great, but pray ye, Lord of the harvest, will send laborers into his harbor. Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs bulls. He that heareth you, heareth me, and you despises me, and he that despises me despises that sent me. O child of God. Here in Matthew 16:18 it says, and I will give unto them the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, for thou shalt loose on earth loose in heaven. 20:21 through 23 said, then said Jesus, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so you. And said this, and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost, and whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. O child of God, the word of the Lord. O, not a man or a woman can add the jot or tittle unto his word. O Father, we thank you, O God, for this word on today. We ask, dear God, that you bless each and every one of my listeners that have been able to hear this word, that will listen and hear. Give them the ear to hear what the Lord have to say unto the church. Let it be found upon good ground. Let it take root down in their spirit, God. Any weeds or anything or tear that will want to come and pluck this word out of their spirit, I declare that the Lord God will, in the name of Jesus, that your word will take great root down in the heart of your people. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Continue to bless your apostolic church, God, and the apostolic message as it go forth throughout this world. favor us, God, and we'll praise your holy name, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, child of God, I'm so glad that you was with me on today at this glorious, as I always say and will say, if you don't have it, God got it. Are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, door shall open unto you, according to Matthew chapter number 7, as it reads, ask, given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Oh, what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, give him a stone? As a fish, give him a serpent. If ye then being evil, how know how to give good gifts unto children? How much shall your father give good things that ask? Child of God, between your nose and your chin, there's set a miracle. Open your mouth and ask, because the life, the power of life and death, tongue, speak life. Ask of your Father and watch him bless you. Oh, child of God, I'm so glad that we met today. I pray that you'll be blessed. If you would like to get a copy of this message on today, I encourage you to contact us by emailing us at ShekinahGT@msn.com. And that's ShekinahGT@msn.com. I will repeat that. ShekinahGT@msn.com. Send me an email and I will make sure to share with you how you can attain a copy of this lesson. You don't want to lose. You want to take and moose it and go before God so that God can give you a greater understanding, because many people question and wonder, what about this apostolic? And some may not have a clear understanding. Get this. Put it in the library. Read it so that you can get a clear understanding even about the apostles and even about the apostleship function and their office as well. It will greatly bless your life and give you an understanding. The Bible said, in all thy getting, get an understanding. And this tape will give you great understanding. God bless you. Until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord make you rich and add no sorrow. I declare and speak increased blessings into your life today. May God bless you, is my prayer. Bye-bye.